Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to go to the next one. Yeah, I haven't played that one in a bit. It's, Black Mamba's version of Highway Star. And, I've been listening to a lot of bands on, actually watching their videos on YouTube, got to come up with some stuff to talk about in the next few, I'd say what, 2.5-3 months before Daytona kicks around and everything starts back up again. So I'm just checking stuff out. I played in that song for a while. They're pretty good. They're out of Italy. So logistics to get them on Garage Talk Live in the off season is a little tricky. We've also had California band Liliac on, so check out their new one, Paranoid. The cover, you know, the Black Sabbath song. They have Chain of Thorns, which is an original. It's pretty good, but always got to give a shout out to them because they did the show, so I wish great things to them. And more on them. We'll be talking to them again. Last time I had the whole band on, it's kind of tough to figure out who was who when I was talking to those. They had Samuel, Melody, and Abigail, and Florin, who's their father, and he's the one that records all their music. And no wonder he's got a pretty good business going out there in California, recording bands and things, because the mixes are perfect. That being said, it is Tuesday, the 20th of November. Thanksgiving is just Thursday, the 22nd. So I know a lot of people will be heading out and about, traveling the family, and they'll be hustle and bustle, traffic on the highways, airports being crowded. Just remember, try to be safe and get to where you're going. Don't get too crazy. Got a couple more days of a day job and then off for the weekend on Thursday and Friday. So I'll be planning future shows, trying to line up special guests and just something to do. Maybe I'm thinking of moving to Sunday nights at 8 in the off season, just because I don't have to get up that early. But during the racing season, the show will always be Tuesdays at noon, due to the fact that when they're racing on Sunday, I got to watch this stuff, and usually sometimes it's not just NASCAR, it's NHRA and some other forms of motorsports that I have DVR, so I got some stuff to talk to you about on during the week. So, and I figure waiting till the following Sunday is moot because the next race will be over. So, that being said, we'll just keep putting it on then. The final weekend of NASCAR. It's the end of the racing season. I wonder if anybody saw that Formula 3 race out in China. Man, that was a nasty wreck. Young 17-year-old driver. Young lady fractured her spine, but it's going to be okay. So anytime a car gets airborne, that's an open wheel car, an open cockpit car, it kind of you kind of like shudder to hope, and because something terrible can happen. And obviously the fence absorbed the impact. The car was shredded up, but the driver was okay. Anybody seeing the new Kia Forte commercials where Colette Davis is driving the car? And well, she was actually on this show several years ago before we came to Blog Talk Radio, and I was trying to find out where it was, and I'm going to try to get her back on the show because she lives out in the Bay Area, and hope she's safe there. And with all the fires going on, hope the people of California are safe. So, they should be getting some rain, of course, probably more than they need, because now they're going to have mudslides and all that. You know, I always thought, oh, it'd be nice to, California be a nice place to live. No, I'll just stick to be a nice place to visit. Because it's way too expensive. It's like, I say it's like New Jersey, only except New Jersey was trying to be like California and drive up the cost of living. So it's not worth it to go out there and live. I know my uncle and his moved his family out there in the early 70s. So, but things were different then. It didn't get too crazy up until later on. But he had a job out there, and that's how it goes. Well, NASCAR crowned 3 champions this coming weekend. Started Friday with the Truck Series. The final 4 were Johnny Sauter, Justin Haley, Brett Moffitt, and Noah Gragson. They were battling it out in the EcoBoost 200 at Homestead Ford. It was Ford EcoBoost weekend because it was the 200, the 300, and the 400. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. So that being said, it all came down to 4 guys battling it out for the title. And when all was said and done, Brett Moffitt took the win. And when you're in the playoffs, down to 4 people, you take the win, you got the championship. If a spoiler wins it, then it's where you finish ahead of those guys. But taking the trophy and the championship is where you want to be. This way you get 2 for the price of 1. You get the champion's check and the winner's check. And the 2 trophies instead of just 1. So Brett Moffitt was the victor, held off Grant Enfinger, Noah Gragson, in 3rd, Stuart Friesen in 4th, Sheldon Creed in 5th, Matt Crafton, 6th, John Hunter Nemechek in 7th, Justin Haley in 8th, Jesse Little at 9th, and Ben Rhodes rounds out the top 10. Other competitors, Johnny Sauter, championship contender, was 12th. And I think he was the only one out of the top 10. So I think Gregson, Moffitt, and Haley. Obviously, Moffitt won. Haley was up there in the top 10. So Johnny Sauter was the only one that was outside the top 10, and he finished 12th. So the race, there was 2 cautions for 12 laps. That was a pretty clean race. 10 lead changes amongst 7 drivers. Sounds like a pretty uneventful race, 134 laps long. Stage 1 was won by Enfinger. Stage 2 was won by Moffitt. And, of course, Moffitt also held on to win the race. He led 3 times for 59 laps, so that was the most laps led. So he kind of deserved quickly and took the championship. So this was Moffitt's seventh NASCAR Camping World Truck Series victory. So he takes the last Camping World Series trophy. Next year it'll be the Gander Outdoors Championship trophy. So it'll look a little different. Should he win it again or should he move up? We'll have silly season updates throughout the off season, and we'll get to that. Let's check some of our past guests. Where did they finish? Let's see. Jennifer Jo Cobb. 28th, started 28th. And I think that's the only one I see. I don't see Josh Reome or Jordan Anderson this week. I guess they sat this one out. Or didn't qualify. Let's take a look. Nobody failed to qualify, so they sat this one out. Everybody that entered made the field, 32 drivers. So here's how the points wound up after the event. Moffitt, of course, I said, took the title. Gragson was second. He was third in the race. Justin Haley was third, and Johnny Sauter was fourth. Haley, like I said, was eighth, and Johnny Sauter was 12th. So that's how they wind up this season. Of course, things will look a little different next year. Guys going to moving up to the Xfinity Series. ARCA drivers looking to move up to the Truck Series. So I think somebody ought to grab Natalie Decker from Venturini Motorsports and put her in a truck. Or she might want another year. She's young. It was her first full year at ARCA, so maybe she should stay at Venturini for another year and get some seasoning with a veteran team. Oh, there's Jordan Anderson. He wound up 20th, started 25th, so he decided to run his own team after driving for my friend Tammy Lowe for TJL Motorsports. And he seems to be doing quite well. Of course, we had him on. He's friends with what I call the NASCAR twins, Brittany and Ashley Cody. So they like the... And they were at Martinsville, and maybe I can get them on to talk about their Martinsville experience. Maybe I'll get them. I'll see if I can get Jordan to call in as well and while they're on. I think that would make their day. Anyway, let's take a look at what they had to say throughout the week. Is your Camping World champion Brett Moffitt and crew chief Scott Zipadelli and team owner Shigeki Hattori.
NASCAR Camping World Truck Series post-race media availabilities. We're joined now by the 2018 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series champion, driver Brett Moffitt. Throw a couple facts out here before we go to question. Brett, you're the first Iowa native to win the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series championship. Finished the 2018 season with 6 wins and 13 top fives. And during the playoffs, of course, you posted 2 wins back-to-back at ISM Raceway here at Homestead and 5 top 5 finishes. First, congratulations on the championship. And before we open it up to questions of these guys, tell us how it feels.
Pretty good. I don't know. I don't think it's sunk in yet. I have a lot of friends, family here, and just the effort that HRE put in all year, and Scott and these guys, when we didn't even know if we were going to make it to the track, and then we show up that week and win the race at Chicago, and just everything we've been through. I don't think everyone understands when we say we have 9 or 10 full-time employees. That's the last 3 to 5 weeks they've been working 7 days a week and work until midnight if need be. More times than not, they were doing that, and it's just it's a testament to them. It's really unfortunate to drive the truck, but those guys, they kill it. I mean, it's an honor to drive for them.
We're also joined by our 2018 NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Crew Chief Champion, Scott Zipidelli. This is, Scott, your first career NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Championship. Your previous best championship finish was 7th with driver Ben Kennedy in 2016. And we're joined by our NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Owner Champion, Shigeaki Hattori. Your first NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Championship, you become the 15th different owner champion in the NASCAR Camping World Truck Series, and the first from Japan. Gentlemen, to both of you, congratulations, and I'll go to Scott first. Scott, you did it. How's it feel?
Like Brett said, it's kind of amazing, really. It feels good. Going into this race, everybody asked me, are you nervous? Are you nervous? Nope, we're not nervous. We're really not even supposed to be here. We've exceeded all expectations from all of our peers and competitors. But with saying that, we had all the confidence that we could do it. And we did it with people, not stuff or a big budget like some of the teams that we raced with, out-budget us. But we did it with people and heart. And like Brett said, these guys worked. I mean, I've had to kick them out of the shop at 1 o'clock in the morning in the past week because I was exhausted. Starting at 5:30 in the morning, and we'd leave the shop at midnight, and everybody's happy. Who's happy working that long hours? And they want this. And it's been an amazing journey. It's taught us a lot about ourselves and what you could do if you really focus on the right things. And, with Brett, I did an amazing job all season driving the truck. We work very well together, and, working for Shiggy is a joy, really. I'm very happy for all of our employees and their families that have sacrificed a lot to get here.
Well, Shiggy, you're at the pinnacle. You've reached the mountaintop. It's got to feel pretty good for you.
Well, it takes a long time. Since I started my own team, it was 2008. And I mentioned Brett, we missed K&N Championship. It was 2012, and we were leading last lap, so then we missed it. But today, yeah, we did. And it's we're a so small team, but everybody did a great job, and I'm so, so happy, all the teams and all team members and all team families. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, let's open it up to questions for our championship team. We'll start over here to the right with Bob Pockers and come up front here to Jerry.
Bob Pockers, ESPN. Brett, going into this race, not knowing what your future holds, did your mind wander into like, gosh, this could be a career moment? Gosh, if I can win this race, it'll help me land rides in the future? Or did you try to kind of stay in the moment itself?
I'd say a little bit of both. I thought about it. And the only reason I thought about it is because even if I win it, I'm still not guaranteed a job next year, but at least I can say that
I won it. So that's really all it extends to is, you know, we worked really hard all year, and I wanted to win not only for myself, but everybody involved. We had so many different partners this year that have really helped us along the way and helped us get to this point. So, you know, I put pressure on myself to win it so that no matter what happens in the future, at least I can say I won it.
We'll come up front to Jerry and then to Holly.
Jerry Jordan kicking the tires, letting that Performance Racing Network. Shiggy, about 1 p.m. in Tokyo right now. Any phone calls, any congratulations? What's been the message from all the supporters overseas that make this happen for you guys?
Well, as soon as we finished our race today, I got off about maybe a 20 text message and a phone call. And, you know, the president, Icing, and chairman, they called. You know, it's not a broadcasting over in Japan, but they are checking maybe a website. And, yeah, scoring. So, and then they're so excited.
And Brett, you gonna keep the mustache with the thing?
No, John. No. We'll see. We'll see what the ladies say.
There you have your Truck Series Championship team, Brett Moffitt. Congratulations, Brett, on doing it. Driving for a small team. It's always good when you see a small team beat the big teams. We say under 10 full-time employees, so working 7 days a week. So here you have all the teams that are supported by bigger cup teams like Gibbs and Hendrick. And I'm also counting like Kyle Busch Motorsports, which is not a big team per se, but JGR does probably help him a lot out. Just like Junior's team in the Xfinity Series gets help from Hendrick, and you know, that's how they grow their teams and find their drivers next. So anyway, the next series came in Saturday night. The playoff finals consisted of Tyler Reddick, Cole Custer, Daniel Hemric, and Christopher Bell were the final four. It all came down again to the end of the race. And that came down to a rookie this year taking the championship. Tyler Reddick takes the win and the championship again, getting both trophies. Led two times for 44 laps. The guy who had a good shot at it led twice for 95 laps and won both stations, but he wound up second. Cole Custer. Custer is moving up next year to take over the 41 car from Kurt Busch. So this is his last year in the Xfinity Series, so he gets to move on. And I wonder if he's taking that double zero with him, because it's not claimed in the Cup Series, so you figure Stewart Haas has the 10, the 14, the 41, and the 4. A lot of vehicles with the number 4 in them, so we'll have to wait and see. But anyway, Tyler Reddick takes the win. Cole Custer in second. John Hunter Nemechek in the 42 car of Chip Ganassi. In the regular season, Kyle Larson fills that seat from time to time, but John Hunter has acquitted himself well in that seat. That's what shows what a good driver and a good ride can do. Daniel Hemric was fourth. And Austin Cindric was fifth. So your top two and bottom two in your top four in the championship round were split by John Hunter Nemechek. Ryan Preece taking the sixth spot. Justin Allgaier, who fell short for the Final Four, came in seventh. Brandon Jones was eighth. Ninth, Michael Annette. Rounding out the top ten, Matt Tift. Oh, I was wrong. Christopher Bell was in the Final Four. He wound up 11th. So, that's, I think Christopher Bell won his last race to get into the Final Four, but it was Tyler Reddick taking the win and the championship. It's always fun when the, like I said, when you want to win the championship, you want to make a statement and win the race too, instead of racing for a position to stay ahead of your closest competitor. So, that being said, Tyler Reddick is the new Xfinity Series champ. It was his third in the Xfinity Series. Two cautions for 10 laps. Again, a pretty clean race. Five lead changes amongst four drivers. So those leaders were Custer, Nemechek, Reddick, and Christopher Bell. Of course, Reddick won the important part. Cole Custer pretty much dominated, led almost half the race, but, and then John Hunter Nemechek led the second most laps. He led once for 52, so he was on one straight stretch of run there, where Reddick led twice for 44, and Custer led twice for 95. The only lap leader there was Christopher Bell. He led once for 9 laps. He wound up 11. So a couple of retirement. Elliott Sadler, his last race ever. He's stepping out of the vehicles for good. He was asked about that. A while ago, and here's what he had to say. He had a press conference on Friday, so I guess it was him talking about his last race. There's Elliott.
Hey, folks, if I can have your attention, please, here in the media center. We're joined now by the driver of the number one main financial Chevrolet, Elliott Sadler. Elliott, before I open up the questions, pretty significant weekend for you here this weekend. Your thoughts heading into tomorrow's race?
Well, it's pretty surreal naming here this morning, you know, with my wife and kids and my parents, and we were telling stories on the way to the racetrack. My first time down here was in 1995 for the first race. I was a crew member on my brother's race car at the time, and, you know, been coming down here a long time, racing for a long time. It's been a little bit of an emotional week, but honestly, It's been fun also, knowing that I knew my folks are going to be here with me to kind of go on this last adventure with me. And before I, you know, talk too much more or you know, answer questions, anything like that, I have a lot of good friends in this area, in the media, that's been good to me for a long time. And I want to say thank you. We've had some good discussions with some and some disagreements, but at the end of the day, we always could shake each other's hand or walk away being friends, and that's the main thing. So I want to say to, you know, all you guys I've known since I was a kid, thank you for your professionalism first, but your dedication to the sport. I know each and every one of you covered in a different way and kind of in your own way, and that's cool. We got to have that nowadays. But the way you've always treated me and my family has always been with respect, and I appreciate that. So I feel like I got a lot of good friends in this room, and that's what I'm going to miss the most. Not only you in this room, but, you know, everybody in the garage as well is probably the biggest thing that's been going through my mind this week. Got a lot of text messages and just thinking, man, we've made a lot of good friends on this run, and I want to make sure if I got a chance to talk to you guys in the media center, I would tell you the same thing, that, you know, just appreciate the friendship over the years.
Excellent. With that, we'll open it up to questions. We'll start with Jerry and then go to Greg, then Reed.
Jerry Jordan, kicking the tires, starting that PRN. In here, bud. Talk about the helmet and also, I guess, your hard card issue.
Y'all saw my tweet, huh? Helmet. I was at my house two Tuesdays ago before we left to go to Phoenix. And on a Tuesday night, and all of a sudden, everybody, my family starts showing up at my house. My brother showed up, and his wife, and then his kids, and my sister, and her daughter. I'm like, what the hell are y'all doing at my house this time of night? You know, I don't have enough food to feed y'all. And then my wife and kids had done a deal to paint a helmet, exact replica of my first ever helmet from 1993 when I drove a late model. So it's that bright yellow that my car used to be. And I wanted the car to look like that, but I got voted down. So the helmet was a good replacement for that. But it was neat for my kids to hand it to me, and then I gave them a Sharpie and told them to go to town, so they drew all over it. And the helmet's definitely something special that will go home with me tomorrow night. Hard card. Yeah, this place has always been tough. You know, remember Casey Kane's incident here a couple years ago? This place has always been tough with their security. It's the people that run this track have no clue even who they're doing security for. So I get here to the track this morning with my hard card. My dad has his hard card. My mom has hers. My wife has hers. My kids don't have a hard card because they're 8 and 6. And that pulled up to the back gate, and they said, well, you can't go in. So I thought it was a joke, right? I think this is pretty cool. It's a prank. So I called Wayne Alden going, hey, man, it's funny, but it's not funny. And he's like, no, nothing. So me and I was not disrespectful. I didn't cuss at anybody. But they would not let me in for a while. So the reason was I didn't have the right parking credentials. And I was like, I just landed in a plane, all my parking credentials at the bus. Well, you're going to have to take the trolley in. And I'm like, I'm not riding a that damn thing. And my dad can't walk real far, and he's had a stroke. My kid's allergic to peanuts. We're not getting on a thing that we don't know anything about. And I'm like, look at the annual. It says driver, NASCAR. Look, it's a guy. Oh, yeah, I know who you are, but you're still not going in. And I'm like, does anybody have any common sense at this racetrack? And then all I think about was the Casey Kane thing. So I'm just saying, guys, you don't even know who you're doing security for. You have no idea. So finally, I had to steal a parking pass from somebody else until I could get inside to get mine to get to my bus. And I'm just sitting there thinking, the guy tells me he knows who I am, but he's still not going to let me in. That really took the cake. So Homestead, please get some folks in here to know what they're doing. I don't know who the president is of this track, but he needs to wake up. Anyway.
There you have Elliot Sadler talking about his final experience at Homestead. Maybe I run security. I was a Marine. We know all about security. Again, I guess just some guy. Usually what they do is hire a lot of temporary security people in there and just going through Dover, and, you know, I used to cover Dover from 2000 to 2011, both races every year, so I kind of knew everybody there. And some of the people letting you in the parking lot are not regulars there. The regulars all patrolled around on golf carts and worked the media center and the gate entrances. But even then, they have to bring in a lot of temporaries because, you know, it's only a one-weekend thing to where you do that. So it's the logistics of putting on a weekend event is pretty massive. So, yeah, Elliot, if they knew who you are, they should have let you in. That's a little ridiculous there, and the president of the track, whoever that was, he should have gotten on the phone and said, hey, he's a driver, it's his family, let him in. So he landed, like I said, he landed on a plane. His press credentials, he said, was in the bus, which is his motorhome, where, you know, the car was probably a rental from the airport. So he was just heading to his motorhome. what the security guy could have done was escorted them. But, you know, if he's going to be parked at a motorhome, what's the big deal? You have to go and see who runs that track, whether it's Bruton Smith or the France family, or an independent. Let me go take a quick look here. Corporate info. Track directory. Here we go. Tracks. I just need the tracks. I need Homestead Miami Speedway. Boy, this has every track in creation. Here we go, Homestead Miami. Probably their website. Physical address, shipping address. How about officials? Anyway, that looks like a pain. It just says Homestead Miami Speedway. So that's a, it isn't a, Bruton Smith track, because that'd be Motor Speedway. And it isn't a International Speedway Corps. Theirs always say International Speedway, but the other one says Motor Speedway. But anyway, we still have to hear from our winner. And here is Tyler Reddick.
Okay, we are here with the 2018 NASCAR Xfinity Series champion and driver of the number 9 Burger 5 Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports, and that is Tyler Reddick. Tyler is also the Sunoco Rookie of the Year with his win tonight. Outstanding night. 3 trophies for you. Talk about the biggest one, though, the Xfinity Series championship, please.
It's something I knew was possible all year long, and you know, maybe not everybody in the garage believed it, but our team believed it, and that's all we need. The guys in the shop believed it. Winning in the first race of the year was huge. It was a huge sigh of relief knowing that no matter what horrible things could happen, we're locked into the playoffs. But at the same time, I think looking back, obviously going into the playoffs, we looked back and I wouldn't say we as a team. I was simply just too aggressive and tore a lot of good race cars up, unfortunately. But playoffs came around. We refocused. We honed in on what we had to do. We weren't always, I got to say, the practice sessions between the round of 12 and round of 8, we weren't ever really that great. We were always kind of struggling of the guys who were competing for the championship, and we were always wondering how we were going to get speed in the race and get the points we needed to advance the next round. And my team worked really hard, especially the 7 weeks prior after practice to make our car better and to get ourselves in position to score points and survive.
Great.
That is no to your phone. There's a lot of good stuff on that thing.
We'll start with Kelly for Tyler, and then go to Reed. Jacob.
KellyCrandallRacer.com to your left, Tyler.
Hey, how are you? Sorry.
You were walking down pit road last week after advancing, and you turned to Daniel Hemric and you said, "God, Homestead, I really suck there."
I don't remember saying that. I must have been messing with him.
Yeah, so I was going to say, were you messing with the competition, or did you honestly feel you didn't have a good kind of take on this place? Because you haven't finished worse than 6th here between trucks and Xfinity.
I love this place, quite simply. I don't mean to put the other tracks down by that. It's just a place that it fits me very, very well. There's certain tracks that fit drivers well, and for me, it just, ever since I raced my first start here in the truck series, it's just a place that was a lot of fun, and my aggression was often rewarded with me slapping the truck in the fence and not winning races, but as time went by and I got smarter, it seemed like I figured out how to hit the fence and not lose as much time. And these Xfinity cars, just you can, especially with his body this year, you can hit the fence quite a bit, and for the most part, keep it rolling. So I knew that going in, and you know, we did what we had to do. I hit the wall a lot. I thought I gave it away a number of times, especially when that 20 got by me. But I guess I didn't hit it hard enough. They built a good race car over there, so we were able to power back by him and hold on for the win.
What else in the front two?
Reed Spencer with NASCAR Wire Service. Congratulations. A lot of the other guys, the other championship four competitors in doing the postmortem after the race said, I wish we had practiced more running up against the wall. And did you get a lot of practice doing that? Did you do that in the test? And also, some of the spotters seem to observe that after you brushed the wall for the first time that your car actually got faster. Was that an accurate perception?
I wouldn't say that the car got faster. The driver just knew what not to do again. Every time I was hitting the wall, it was, all right, well, I can't do that. I need to work on this or that. And just kept adjusting every time I'd make a mistake, whether I'd hit the wall or just not run a good lap. You know, constantly adjusting, trying to find more speed. And as the race was going on, my risk versus reward, if you will, would swing more to the risk side, and I would just try and get closer and closer, and it seemed to just reward me with a better handling car, and we'd go faster. So, you know, we tested here in August, and I think I ran 300 laps against the fence and only hit it six times, and four of those times I only hit it in the first day. So, and we never even really had to fix it after the first time I hit it before lunch. But just really, really comfortable. I actually had a lot better feel in this place. I felt like in August when we tested here running up high than I did yesterday with the practice when it was a lot cooler and even most of this race today. But for some reason when the sun set, I just kind of found my rhythm. Actually, kind of funny, I had a tear off on my visor all day, and as soon as I pulled the tear off that thing, and I could do a little bit brighter once the sun went down, it seemed like the switch flipped and we were running a lot faster. So maybe it was that. I don't know.
There is your 2018 Xfinity Series champion and race winner, Tyler Reddick. Now for the main event of the weekend, the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series Championship. It came down to four guys, the Big Three and Joey Logano. After Martinsville, where Joey Logano took the win in a door-handle-to-door-handle battle with Martin Truex Jr. to lock him into the round of four. And, of course, the big three being Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, and Martin Truex Jr. getting into the playoffs with their vast amounts of playoff points. I mean, you're looking at guys that had two guys with eight wins, one guy with four wins. So, and it came close a couple of times. Truex had four, Harvick and Kyle Busch had eight. Of course, that includes playoff wins. That's just all told. So you have to win to be in, and they all did it. Joey Logano won the race at Martinsville, which locked him in. Harvick won the race at Texas, or so he thought. That win was, I guess, taken, and he had to get in on points. He was penalized, his crew chief was suspended, and spoiler issues. Apparently, something was amiss in post-race inspection. And Kyle Busch, who won at Phoenix. So that left Truex and Harvick getting in on their points merits, and deservedly so. I mean, that's why you lead the most laps, win the stages, and win races. Those stage wins give you playoff points. And you get stage points, I guess, that help you throughout the year, but that's a little confusing. I have a breakdown on that. We'll go over that again in February when everything starts all over again. But it came down to the big three and Joey Logano. Of course, I picked Harvick last week. Being Truex said Joey Logano wouldn't win the championship, sounded like he was going to try to see to that to happen. And point in the race where it looked like he was trying to do that, but I didn't pick either one of them because I'm not sure Marty knows how to take somebody out without wrecking himself. So if he did take out Logano, he was going to hurt his own chances. So I ruled him out, and I went with Harvick. Kyle Busch just won at Phoenix, so I wasn't sure he was going to have an inning to get two in a row. Don't get me wrong. If there's anybody who could win two in a row, it is Kevin. It is Kyle Busch. He's that good. He's in a good car. So Truex, his last race with Furniture Row, they're closing up shop. He's going to the 19 and in the Gibbs team. So he had something figured out that the Gibbs team didn't. Even though Kyle Busch figured it out, winning eight races this year, it always seems like the Furniture Row team had a little something the Gibbs team with their four-car lineup didn't have. So now they're getting that. Martin Truex and Cole Pern are both going to Joe Gibbs Racing because why break up a pair? That being said, another thing, Chad Knaus and Jimmy Johnson, together 17 years with Lowe's. Jimmy Johnson loses pulling their sponsorship. Jimmy Johnson not having a good year, did not win a race this year, so didn't even make the playoffs. Or if he did, he barely made the playoffs. Either way, I mean, not Jimmy Johnson's year. So Chad Knaus is going to the 24. I'm going to be working with young William Byron. So we'll have to see what happens. We have a whole bunch of things coming on. I mean, that's part of the silly season we know about. Kyle Busch, I mean, Suarez, I don't know where he's going, but I'm sure Joe Gibbs isn't going to let him go. He was a rookie this year. But with Eric Jones, now Truex, Kyle Busch and Denny Hamlin, there's four guys that probably are that are entrenched. So that leaves Daniel Suarez on the outside looking in. Well, let's see. Is there another Toyota team that Gibbs can help and play in a C4? They did that with Eric Jones with Furniture Row a couple years ago when Truex won the title. Eric Jones was in the 77, Truex in the 78, and Jones did pretty good. He didn't embarrass himself. And, of course, now he's got the 20 car. So we'll just have to wait and see. But when all was said and done, at the Ford EcoBoost 400 in Homestead, capping off the Ford EcoBoost weekend, the winning car was a Ford. And it wasn't the one I picked. It wasn't Kevin Harvick. It was Joey Logano. Led four times for 80 laps. Did not win a stage. Harvick won stage one. Kyle Larson won stage two. Joey Logano did lead the most laps. But it wasn't a dominant event. It's 80 out of 267. So you figure, what, 80 and 80 is 160, another 100. You're almost looking at maybe a quarter of the race, maybe a little more. So margin of victory, 1.725 seconds. It came down to a final restart. Joey Logano and Truex. Truex had the lead. Joey Logano caught him, passed him on the outside, and kept on going with about 17 to go. Taking home the win and his first ever NASCAR Cup Series Championship. So he's the second one to win that big Stanley Cup-looking like trophy. It was great seeing them put his son into the Cup part of it. Pictures of that all over the place. There were five cautions. It was Sliced Bread's 21st Monster Energy Cup Series victory. 5 cautions for 26 laps, 22 lead changes amongst 7 drivers. Pretty competitive, actually. More competitive than the other two in the series as far as cautions and restarts and fuel and stages. Figure you could always knock out 2 cautions, stage 1 and stage 2. I think they ought to not call that a caution and call it something else. Maybe we'll get a NASCAR official on and we'll call it stage intermission instead of a caution. Give it its own different color flag. Just leave the green white out, the green white checker out, or maybe go to a green white, half green, half white. But I'll lobby for that. But when all was said and done, the two people that were probably the least likely to win the championship finished 1 and 2. The favorites all year were Harvick and Kyle Busch. Would have been number 18 in 2018. No. But they all finished in the top 4. And it came out to Logano, Truex, Harvick, and Kyle. Kyle not having as good a day as he liked. He did lead once for 21 laps, but the other 3 cars were just that much better throughout the day. Brad Keselowski finished 5th. Matt Kenseth, who filling in for Trevor Bayne in this one, finished 6th in the old number 6 car. Chase Elliott finished 7th. 8th, Clint Bowyer. Eric Almirola, 9th. And Kurt Busch, 10th. So all your Stewart Haas cars in the top 10. Denny Hamlin, who actually started on the pole, wound up 12th. Austin Dillon was 11th. So that being said, well, let's hear from our winner and our champion, the one and only Joey Logano.
Okay, we are here with the 2018 Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series champion and driver.
Yeah,
number
right, 2. You are.
Me too. Well, I'm going forward. That's Joey Logano. Joey, congratulations. And all right, has it sunk in yet? Talk about
being
a champion.
It's just, man, it's incredible what goes through your mind and how it feels to be able to cross the start finish line. You be able to take the lead, and you know there's quite a few laps left, and as you get closer, you know, 5 laps, 4 laps, you count them down, you're like, just want to take the white flag to where, you know, the caution comes out, we got it. And it really felt a lot like my first win in Pocono, and kind of that same thing, because how big that first win was to me. And once you get that first win, your goal changes to winning a championship. And I remember those laps there, and my foot was shaking on the way down to put the throttle down, and my foot kept shaking, and started doing that again. I was like, oh my goodness, it's been so hard, and such a long road to get here, and been so close, and had that feeling of defeat, and man, it hurts a lot, and the last thing you want is to have that feeling again. But yeah, I felt so confident going into this week that we were a car to beat, and I felt like, you know, after winning Martinsville, put us in the spot to really focus in on this race, and we did. I built a great race car, that was able to be good on short runs. It wasn't a long run race car, that's for sure, but a 20-lap car, it was that for sure, and my race team, I wasn't worried about them at all, and I knew I just had to do my job, and everyone's going to do their job, and everything was going to be fine. Either way, everything was going to be fine, but I felt confident and relaxed that today was going to be a good day.
Tremendous. Thank you, Joey. We'll open up the questions. We'll start up here with Greg, and then move around.
Hey, Joey. Congratulations. Greg in a lot of week. I know it's going to be a great feeling, but did Martinsville at all or flash back to you in those laps when you and Truex were running pretty close together? And I know there was a little bit of contact. Do you have time to think of that kind of stuff? That maybe, oh, yes, he could end this right here. Or did you guys work it out well enough that you knew that nothing like that's going
to
happen?
Well, you never know, right? You never know. But honestly, as a competitor, you have to keep that stuff in your mind. Everyone says, you know, put it out of your mind, but you have to think about it. You know, you have to make the right decisions and be smart about how we were going to race each other. And He raced me hard. He raced me the same way that I would have raced him. You know, we ran each other hard and tried to, but it was nothing dirty, you know. Everything was fine. So I thought to three competitors that I was going against this week. You know, it's maybe one of the coolest parts about this whole thing is that we went up against the best of the best. No one was in there by accident, you know, and to beat the best, I guess that's what makes this championship feel so good. And I told my interior guy, Daniel Lynch, when I got in the car, so I'm getting in as a driver and getting out as a champion. And we were able to do that, so what a great feeling.
There you have winner and champion Joey Logano. First championship in the Cup Series. Again, one against three other guys that only have one as well, looking for their second. So he is now a NASCAR Monster Energy Cup Series champion, Joey Logano. So that's our show for today. Hope you all enjoyed it. No picks for this next few months. So I'm your host, Vinny, and we'll see you all next week. Whether it's next Tuesday or the Sunday after, I don't know. Follow me on Facebook, and I'll maybe tweet it out as well. So I'll let you all know when to tune in. If you don't catch it live, it goes right to podcast, so you don't have to miss an episode. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. All have a safe and warm holiday, and we'll see you all next time. Bye now.